flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here is the kickoff by Gramatica, high and not too deep. Taken by Mitchell at the 6, out across the 10, 15, 20. He's got a lane at the 25, 30, cuts back at the 40. Midfield, 45, 40, 35, 30. Brian Mitchell is going coast to coast for a touchdown. A 94 kickoff return, 94-yard kickoff return by Brian Mitchell. The 12th return touchdown of his career, which brings him even once again with Eric Metcalf.
See, that's when he was on the right side. This is on our side. Brian Mitchell, B. Mitch, B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan, joins us now. B. Mitch, how we doing?
I'm good, man. You know, the only person that hit me on that play was Ike.
I knew he was going to say that. He's right.
Ike just hits whatever's in front of him.
I think on every return B. Mitch had, I think I tackled him on every one of them, yeah.
Oh, it was fun, though. It was a good one. Yes. I like that.
So B-Mitch, what's the confidence level over there? I heard a report from over there from a friend of mine that it might be a little bit of like overconfidence over there.
I don't think anybody's overconfident. Your friend is telling you a lie. You know, this team believes that they can win if they play their type of game, but that's the thing you do. You got to go out there and play your style of game. You can't make mistakes. If you look at the first game that they played, they wasn't blocking well. They had the penalties. They didn't capitalize over when you missed the field goal. They didn't capitalize. Didn't do anything. In the second game, they made a lot of mistakes, but they were able to capitalize later on in the game and end up getting the victory. So this game's gonna come down to whoever plays the cleaner game.
So, what about the idea of the I forget who said it, but you have to imagine a team in their position with a rookie quarterback, wild card, the whole this team's playing with house money now. Do you think that is a feeling that people have, and B, is that could that be even an advantage to a team that feels like they have nothing to lose?
I think that's a fan and a media terminology. I don't think any player on that football team is thinking they're playing with house money. You know, they're feeling like they went into the season with a lot of confidence and they felt they had a good enough team. And now they're playing their best football. I believe that they feel they still got to go out there and play well. And I don't think they're happy with just being in this position. You know, I've heard teams over the past like, oh, whenever I hear a team say we're playing with house money, you can bet your ass they're going to lose the next game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and yeah. I haven't heard one player say that.
Man, I tell you, a lot of the success you guys are having this year, I'm not going to say it's all attributed to Jaden Daniels, but I do believe having someone in that position who seems to be unflappable, who shows up in the biggest moments, and more importantly, as a rookie, doesn't do a whole lot to hurt your chances of winning. What's it been like for you, man? Listen, you're a Washington you're a Redskin to me. I know you're the Commanders now, but you're a Redskin to me.
Yeah.
You are a legend down there, a Hall of Famer down there. What's it been like for the organization, for the franchise, for the fan base, having Jaden Daniels this year as a quarterback?
I think it's been the most amazing thing that's happened to this team in a long time. you know, people around here have been looking for that quarterback. And I think what you've seen thus far with this guy, you believe that you found that quarterback. Got to keep him upright, got to keep him healthy, you know, but he's going to do everything he can to have that success. What I've been amazed at most of all, as we've gone, as I traveled with this team around this league this year, fans from other teams, media from other teams, fans from other teams are enamored by what he does. You know what I mean? Yeah. It's not just that he's impressing people here. He's impressing people around the league. He went there on a Monday Night Football game against Joe Burrow and stared him down and stared the linebacker down and threw a dime to Terry McLaurin. Mm-hmm. You know, Caleb Williams comes in. He scrambles around for like 15 seconds and throws the ball. Boom, ends up in this guy's hands. He has made plays that veterans make. You know, he's done things that veterans do. Hell, he's done a lot of things that's better than veterans, to be honest mm-hmm. with you. It's because the guy that, look, you meet people every once in a while that come around and they are all about football. You know, most young guys come in, they have a little success, they're all about the life of football. Jaden Daniels has been all about football. Doesn't care about all the other stuff. And I think when you have that makeup like that, that's why you can have so much success.
So the Commanders did lose one of their offensive linemen, Sam Cosmi. How much of a loss is that? You know, obviously losing a starting offensive lineman, but within that perspective, how big of a loss is that?
It's huge. It's huge because Cosmi has been probably the best offensive lineman they had over the last, what, 6-7 years or so. And then you lose him. I think Trent Scott came in last week and played very well, but, you know, he wasn't going against Jalen Carter. So, you know, I think you ultimately have to figure out a way to try and have him to help him out to enhance his play. Or they may come with somebody else. They made the comment that they're going to use their best five players on the field, offensive linemen. So it could mean Trent again. It could mean Wiley drops down because he's played guard in this league. He's played a long time, has a lot of experience. But the ultimate thing is I don't know if one guy is going to buy Jaden Carr. So you got to figure out a way to double up on him or have some tricks to go at him, find a way to go away from him. That's all you can do.
Like a lot of heavyweight matches, B, styles make fights, right? So yeah. I look at these two teams, man. They played twice already. It's been a close game each time coming down to the fourth quarter. What do you think sort of the difference will be, or what does Washington need to do in order to come here and get a win Sunday?
I believe Washington has to keep it close. And if they get opportunities, capitalize off of them, because – I believe, as you said earlier, like people saying that Washington playing with house money, if Washington is close late, pressure falls on the Eagles. The Eagles are the team to beat in the NFC right now. Mm-hmm. So if they are close late, you know, and they mess around and have a lead and they have the ball, you're going to have more pressure on the sideline of the Eagles than it is the Commanders. You know, because the ultimate thing is that's not the team's mindset, that's everybody else's mindset. But we've been in these games, right?
Yep.
You know, we were supposed to be favored against Tampa. Mm-hmm. Late in that game, we were stressing. They weren't.
Yep.
You know, so the ultimate thing, you got to – if you are the favorite, you got to get a lead and keep it. If you are the other guy, you keep it close. And we always say when the game is close and the underdog is still there, that pressure falls on the side of the favorite.
From a strength and weakness perspective from both teams, what – if you're the Commanders, what specifically are you worried about – on the Eagles?
You worried about Saquon and you worried about the defense. I think the defense has shown, like, per man, they're as good as anybody in the NFL. And from 1 to 53, the Eagles have the best roster out there. But the ultimate thing is you have to be on point. You can't allow a team that knows those things to hang around. No. I've watched many football games from all over this league, all over college and whatever. If you are the favorite and you keep messing around and don't capitalize and don't do the things you're capable of doing and you let the other team hang around, it could be a problem. Because what has been shown, and I know this defense coordinator said it, Jaden Daniels may be a rookie by birth certificate. But by his snaps and his plays, he doesn't play like a rookie. You don't want to see that kid with a drive late in the game if you haven't done the things you're supposed to do throughout a game.
The history of NFL teams having to play three straight road games and winning that third game, not great. This is the Commanders' fourth straight road game, which I don't think is precedented in the playoffs, having won a game like this. Do you think that's a big deal, Commanders having not played at home in over a month?
I don't think it's a big deal. I mean, when you go out and play football, one thing about it is when you're on the road, that's when you really your team is galvanized. I think with the Giants might have been one of those teams that went out there and did it when they beat the 18-0 New England Patriots. Nobody gave them a chance. They did it. I really believe that this team, they gained their confidence and their togetherness on the road. They played against Cincinnati earlier this year on a Monday Night Football game. They left from Cincinnati and went straight to Arizona. Stayed in Arizona and put 42 up on Arizona. That is when I think they begin to grow and they begin to become closer. You know, we would go up to Lehigh training camp. We were away from our families, and you become close. You got to depend on your teammates. Mm-hmm. This team has been here at training camp all the time, right here in Washington. If you got free time and your house is right around the corner, you're not going to the old dorm or a hotel with players. You're going to go to the house. And that's what they've been doing. But all the guys have talked about that road trip. So I think when they have learned how to be a team on the road, so right now it's not a bad thing for them. They're kind of welcoming that situation.
Back in the NFC Championship game, man, since you had hair. Not since you had hair, bro, on your head. Had this team been.
I had hair on my head and my face. Dog.
I know. I remember, I seen one of B. Mitch's earlier pictures where he had hair and he had a mustache. He looked like a totally different person than what he looks like right now, man.
I look like somebody from the 70s.
Man, no, it's in all honesty, man, it's if we weren't playing this title game, it's great to see, you know, that once storied franchise back in the spotlight and where they are, man. I know it's been a long time. I know you guys got loyal fans down there. And listen, we've always appreciated you as an Eagle here. But I know you're a Washington great, brother. So good luck on Sunday.
I like to believe I'm an Eagles great, too.
You could be an Eagles great if we win again on Monday. How's that?
I jumped to the damn first place in 3 years. I was doing some things, man. I was showing with your help.
You ain't lying. No, you're absolutely right. Yes, sir.
I don't remember any of that.
B. Mitch won his credit for being an Eagle. Yeah. Listen, I was trying to keep you out of hot water down there. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah,
hey,
no,
bro,
you're right.
About me, I'm a realist. I don't worry about people. Like, you know, one guy is about, man, you probably still an Eagle fan. Bro, listen. When you play for a team, you can always be a fan of them.
Yeah.
Somebody paid you and help your family and help your kids out, help your lifestyle change. Hell, you can always be thankful for that. If you're not, you're a fool.
B-Mish, one more thing, and I think we may have asked you about this the last time you were on, but this is, you know, Josh Harris owns the Sixers, but also owns the Devils and also owns the Commanders. And until recently, that didn't really bug me at all. As a Sixers fan, I didn't care. But now that the Commanders are good and they could stand in the way of getting the Super Bowl, now I feel bothered by it. Just the perception in Commanders land of Josh Harris, what is that?
They love him. Because listen, they had Dan Snyder here, the Antichrist.
Right.
And now you got a guy that's coming here, and in less than a year, a whole year, let's say, of true ownership, you're already a much better football team. You know, for me, I look at it as Josh Harris is a businessman.
Mm-hmm.
And today, in this day and age, sports can make you money. And I don't think any sport makes you more money than a professional football team. And when he got the opportunity to basically buy his hometown team, a team he grew up watching. You know, yes, he owned the Sixers, he owned the Devils, but the ultimate thing, none of those sports teams out there are more valuable than the NFL franchise. And I think he had to make that move.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, it all seemed like it was building toward him trying to get an NFL team. I think a lot of the stuff that he did was being in position, because when an NFL team goes up for sale, there's a lot of people who are interested. You almost have to get picked by the NFL to do it. So, and, you know, regardless of how we feel about him here, the franchises that he's bought are in better positions than before he bought them. You can certainly say that. And that's definitely true of the Commanders.
That's we all know it down here, believe me. Because where they were going to hell in a handbasket before.
All right, well, we're all going to tune into you on Monday to be Mitch and Finley. I hear you guys crying on Monday, hopefully. That's the goal.
See, we don't talk trash, man.
Yeah.
Call in, have fun.
All right, be Mitch.
All right, broski.
All right, bro. Y'all be good, man.
Yep.
There he is, Brian Mitchell. The Twitter question is brought to you by Mark's Jewelers. Valentine's Day is coming. If you're thinking about getting engaged, shop the home team at Mark's, your engagement destination, online at marks-jewelers.com. Oh, Jack has a new one. Would you buy snow from the link on Sunday for $50? What do you think the...
Forgot to add plus shipping to that.
Plus shipping, yeah. What do you think the result of
I'm
the
I'm the thing that says 90% no.
It is 94.9% done.
Yeah.
There you go. Something tells me they'll sell all 100 of them.
Oh, yeah, easily. They will. Yeah. Yeah. No, it's only 100. I mean, you know. Yeah.
Let me just say real quick about B.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite teammates of all time.
Oh, yeah. He was a good teammate.
Yep. Great teammate. Great friend. I don't talk about him much, but he is a big reason why I got into sports talk radio.
Oh, really?
B. Mitch used to do a show on IP on Sunday nights while he was a player.
Oh, really?
Yes.
I don't even remember that.
Yes, B. Mitch was doing like Sunday night shows, man.
You know who did? Tiki did that when he was a player as well. They both did it when they were a player.
Is B. Mitch on the radio doing these shows? And like he's here doing the show, you know, and he's doing his rants and everything.
He's just being a sports talk host.
He's just being a sports talk guy, man. And obviously when he was here, he was later in his career, but he also sat me down and talked to me about life after football and finding your niche and sort of getting into this. So, yeah, he's one of the reasons why I got into sports talk radio, because I heard this dude Sunday nights listening to B. Mitch. I'm coming from a club or either going to the club, and B. Mitch is on the radio.
Hosting sports talk.
Yelling about the game we played that day.
This coach doesn't know what he's doing. What's the quarterback doing?
Well, it worked out for both of you.
Oh, man. Yes.
You know?
Oh, no doubt about it. No
all right. 215-592-9494. Does it bother you that Josh Harris owns the Commanders? It didn't used to bother me, but bothers me now. Bruce in D.C. You're on WIP. What's up, Bruce?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Good afternoon. Ike.
Brucey, Mike, baby.
And Jack. Hey, look, just a quick shout out to you, Ike and Jack. It was a pleasure meeting you guys down at Chickens and Pete the other night. I'm still up here in Philly for the week.
You didn't meet Spike?
What's that?
You didn't meet Spike Monday?
No, I didn't. I did not catch up to Spike.
Oh.
I didn't catch you. I don't know. You slipped out the door or something.
Yeah, he's shady like that. Yeah.
You know me.
No, because I saw Bruce during the Brandon Graham show, so I think you were probably on the air.
You're probably on the air, yeah.
Yeah. That's when I made my way down there. Yeah, absolutely. But I had a chance to meet you, too, so it was awesome. It was awesome. But thanks so much. And it's awesome how you guys just get out there in the crowd. You know, I'm going to have to make some more stops through there, especially after we have this Super Bowl victory.
Now, hopefully.
That's what I'm talking about.
So, Bruce, what do you think about Josh Harris owning the Commanders?
You know what? I think it's trash. I'm going to tell you. I got a suggestion for that. You know, when they have this game on Sunday, if he shows up down there on the field, they need to just pan the camera to him. And if there's any snow left in the stadium, then they can snowball him like the Santa Claus incident in '68.
No. Yeah, all right. I'm trying to urge against people throwing things at anyone specifically.
Right, yeah, we don't need to do that.
Yeah, we don't need that.
No,
you know?
No, but truth be said, though, I mean, I think it's, I just think it sucks. It really does, because, see, he was primarily responsible for this whole brouhaha about the new stadium, which was a terrible idea, and it was all about a money grab. It was all about a money grab. He only cares about money. I don't care what he did for D.C. It's irrelevant. Being a Sixer owner has been, it's just been, he doesn't care about us. He's not a Philly guy. So, the truth be said, hey, look, he needs to sell his stake in the Sixers and come down to D.C. and do whatever.
By the Wizards.
Good luck.
Yeah, they need him.
Yeah. Turn the Wizards around, right? Hey, Bruce, next question. So it's Guy Fieri's birthday, and for next question today, giving away tickets to go see Coheed and Cambria, the man. So the question today is, give us your favorite trash TV show. What do you got?
Man, one of my favorite. I got a number of them. Man, Bar Rescue, man. I love it when he comes in there.
Well, that was Jax. So do you have a number two?
Oh, that was Jax. Oh, Jax was number two?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Do you have another one?
Yeah. I got another one. Let me see. Well, I didn't have another one.
You can talk about Bar Rescue. It was an hour ago. Yeah. It's gonna be hard for you to win, but you're in D.C.
Well,
Something tells me.
I got one. Catfish. Catfish.
Oh, I love Catfish.
That was an all-time show.
Catfish. Yeah, I never watched it.
Catfish. Oh,
I loved Catfish.
And they're still on. They're still on.
Oh, is it?
Yeah. No, I tune in every now and then. Yeah, especially. Yep. Check them out when I get the chance to. But that's a great show.
Oh, that is a good one. All right, Bruce, appreciate the call.
Do you know when I even found out what catfishing was? Was Manti Te'o.
Right. That's when it became sort of a thing.
Yeah, that was the first time I even was aware of what catfishing is.
Well, so Catfish originally was a movie about the guy, a documentary about the guy who hosts Catfish.
Okay.
Right? So he had it done to him. He started a relationship online with somebody that he didn't know.
Sure.
And wouldn't meet him, eventually met him, found out it was a different person and then he started the show. And it's funny, every time I watch the show, I just see these poor people and think, as soon as I see the picture of the person, so the way they do the show is you don't know if it's actually the person or not. So somebody writes into the show and says, I have an online relationship with somebody that they won't meet. I want to finally meet them. So the host of the show and the producer, they get in touch with them and they arrange a meeting. And every they'll show a picture of the person. And every time I see the person, I'm like, come on, man. I'm like, you think that person, that gorgeous person, will not send you a picture of them or won't meet? Or it's always sort of nice when they meet them and they're who they say they are, but it feels like 80% of the time it is. And there's some bad ones, man. There's some like, it was the woman's like friend, you know, that was mad that they were trying to get in a relationship and lying to him. Mm-hmm. Oh, I love Catfish.
That stuff happened when I was like a teenager, 13, 14 years old. You know how you always get hooked up when one of your cousins, not hooked up with one of your cousins, but one of your cousins' friends. Right? They'll have a friend that they're trying to hook you up with, somebody you've never met. You've only talked to them on the phone. You know, and you do all this back and forth of talking on the phone, and forever takes you forever to actually go meet them somewhere.
Right.
Then you go to meet them, and you realize, like, nah, that ain't what I was hoping for.
Right.
They may be looking at you the same way, like, yeah, that ain't really what I was hoping for.
Well, that's true.
Well, then the next thing you know, they're not there.
Yes, well, that happens too with this show.
Like, yeah, they're not there. They don't even bother to actually engage with you. You just don't ever meet them.
Yeah, they see you and they're like, well, you know what? Actually, I didn't show up.
Did you know that the camera went to prom with his cousin?
Yes, I've heard that story.
What? He went to prom? No, I didn't even go to prom.
I've heard that story.
I was such a loser, I didn't even go to prom. But something tells me not going to prom is better than going to prom with your cousin.
Yes, I would imagine it is.
Now, he may say the story's different, but the story they tell in the morning show is that he went to prom with his cousin.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the story is he didn't know.
That it was his cousin?
Yeah, I think he may have found out later.
That's so
you know how sometimes you have a cousin and you don't realize, like, hold
second
on, we're
cousin.
Related.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully nothing was the camera. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, he was in high school.
He's certainly in high school.
He's awkward right now. Imagine how awkward he was in high school.
Yeah, yeah.
My favorite thing about the camera is that he comes around like, oh, I got kicked out of classes all the time. I was a bad student.
Yes, and I don't see it.
Not at all.
Yes.
He seems like a Poindexter.
This dude was up there taking attendance for the teacher.
For sure.
Yes.
Kidding me?
For sure.
Hall monitor.
And also,
you know he was.
Yes.
And also, can they make a decision on what high school he claims?
He went to prep, right?
Yeah, but he also claims Penn Charter. He claims because he started.
You know what he does? I get confused sometimes.
I know.
I thought he was a St. Joe's prep guy. Then he does wear the Penn Charter. Please.
I know. They need to have a LeBron-like decision.
And he has to pick which high school he actually
went to.
The
high school has to say, we don't want you to claim us. Like, imagine if St. Joe's prep was like, we don't really want you
to. So then he started Penn Charter and then
I think
went
he started
through.
Charter and then he ended up at St. Joe's prep.
Well, then I think it's fair to claim prep. So I started at USC.
Right.
But graduated from Syracuse.
Yeah.
And I don't think I can really claim USC.
No.
But you do say it a lot, though.
But only because I lived there.
Yeah.
But I don't like
saying. We still view it as something prestigious.
I don't. Well, when I went, it wasn't prestigious.
SC?
Well, they let me in.
Well, I just meant. I meant from it. It's USC. It's a prestigious college.
More than anything, it's just that I was there at a year that I remember. I just remember living in Los Angeles, but I'm like, I went to USC. Actually, in our industry, Syracuse is more impressive than
there's no doubt about it. Yes.
USC.
We respect Syracuse way more than USC.
Yes, yeah, for sure.
You're not in movies and film.
No.
Just like Bloomsburg. A lot of respect.
Yeah.
A lot of respect.
A lot of respect.
Yeah. All right. Well, are we... So, everyone said we should... We were talking in the meeting about doing Flyers and 50, but it's NFC Championship week. We're really going to do Flyers and 50?
Of course. Come on, man. It's three straight. I need to hear Broads.
Then we're keeping it. This is just the rule. We're keeping it to the 50 today.
What? Didn't he get extra time?
No, we're stopping
I
stopped penalizing him for the losses, so I'm not giving him
it's hard
time.
To keep up. Hard to keep up.
We need time. Glenn was honored last night.
He was.
He was.
We need time to talk about that.
We're talking about it right now, so Broads doesn't have to talk about it. All right. We're going to do Flyers of 50 next, along with your calls on Josh Harris, 215-592-9494.
It's
the WIP Afternoon Show with Ike, Spike, and Fritz.